Today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Vav, and we're holding right at the Mishnah at the bottom of Mem Hei Amud Beis, and we're right in the middle of describing exactly how it is that a Nazir Tahar is Misayim is Nazir. So the last thing that we had was what he does with this Sa'ar, and we had the strange halacha that you put some of the Rotav of the Shlomim, but remember that there's still much to be done, because we have the entire halacha of the tenufa, which now we're finally going to discuss. So first, hayah mevashelet hashlamim. So you're sitting there with that pot of shlamim, everything is cooking. For that matter, you could even be sholek the shlamim, even though it says b'shela, it doesn't mean it can't be shaluk. Shaluk means it's stewed. I mean, that's really, really very, in terms of cooking, it's very well done. So then you've got yourself a cooked shlamim. Once you have the cooked shlamim, the Kohen then takes notelat hazeroah b'shela min ha'ayo. So you take the zeroah, which is the front leg of the shlamim, plus one of the 10 matzot from the basket that you were supposed to bring. Remember, the lashon of the pasuk is v'lakach ha'kohen et hazeroah b'shela min ha'ayo v'chalat matzah achat min ha'sal u'rekik matzah achad. Vinatan al kapei anazir, he puts this on the nazir's palm. Achar hitgalcho, after, it's very important to remember the words of this pasuk because I want to be medayik now. Achar hitgalcho, after the nazir had done his giluach, and then vehinifo tama kohen tnufa lifnei Hashem, kodeshu la kohen, besides al achazeh tnufa v'ashoka truma. And then at last, v'achar yishteh hanazir yayin. Now it's time to drink alachayim. Okay, so this is the pasuk we're going to be looking at. So the first thing is just to describe the mitzvah of the pasuk. So he's taking the zroah b'shela, one matzah, and one rikik, and one of the thin, like what we call matzahs, and he puts all of this together. The zroah and the matzot, al kapei nazir, and then he puts his hands underneath the nazir's hands, and he waves the whole thing. And at that point, achar kach, which is mashma, after all of these things are finished, at last the nazir is mutter lishtot yayin, mutter lehitameh lemeitim, and that's it. So in other words, he had to do everything. He had to do the giluach, and he had to do hakrova of sholosh behemos, one for his chatas, and one for his zayla, and one for his shlamim, and then he had to also be involved in this tnufa. And then finally, after all of that, and only after all of that, it's mashma, is he allowed to drink wine? Rabbi Shimon says, no, it doesn't mean after all of that. Kivan shenizrak alav echad ben adamim, hutar hazir lishtot b'yayin, uleyitameh lemetim. It's nothing like that at all. All we need is to have done the zrika of any of the three karbonas, and that would have already been matir, the nazir completely. Obviously, he still has the mitzvahs of doing all of these other things. But if he didn't, it doesn't mean that his naziris is still in effect. Tana rabbana. Now, we see in the Braita exactly where in the pasuk we're being medayik these differences. We've done a beautiful job so far in our Masechet, which we've traced every one of the words in the psukim. We've been so beautifully medayik. We finally get to the din of the conclusion of the Naziris, specifically in terms of Tyra. And it says in the pasuk, V'achar, it sounds like a very beautiful ending. And then, at last, Yishteh HaNazir Yayin. So we've been waiting for this big moment. Well, the word achar means after it's all over, everything that I just described, then we can drink a l'chaim. Maybe that's where, it comes from, drinking a l'chaim at the end. So says Rabbi Eliezer. That's what Pasuk says. The Chachomim, remarkably, which is Rabbi Shimon Shita, they say, even though it says achar, you know what it really means? It means achar any ma'aseh yechidi. One of the steps is fine. What? But it says achar. Doesn't achar mean at the end of the whole process? The reason that the Rabbanan say that it means achar ma'aseh yechidi is only because of a gzera shava. So they were mekabel that we have a gzera shava of the word acher to the word acher. Therefore, say the Chachamim, if you take a look at the pasuk right before, so it says over there, v'natan al kapea nazir achar hitgalcho et nizro. That's talking about this Rabbi Shelan, so which we just read. And over there it says to do that achar hitgalcho et nizro, and then at the end of the pasuk it says the achar yishtad nazir yayin. Now the first achar that was mentioned in context of gitgalcho can't mean anything but achar hitgalcho, after he did one act, the act of giluach. If we have a Kabbalah that there's a gzera shava of acher to acher, then it's telling us that the second acher in the pasuk, acher yishta nazir yayin, is the same as the first acher. Just like the first acher is a maisi yechidi, so to the second acher is a maisi yechidi, which means that even one of the damim would be sufficient to be matirin. Says Gemara, I mean, that's all very sweet, but I mean, maybe the point is that we put the two achers together. In other words, acher hitgalcho and acher all of this business with the tenufa and this rabbi shela. If you've done everything, then we finally can be matir. Because remember that it says the tenufa, even though basically, the Giluach was after the Hakrava. So what it is that we're doing, therefore, is showing that the Psukim are meant to complement each other. Maybe that's the point. So if you do the Tiglachat, even though Tiglachat is done later, and you also brought the Korbanas, then you did everything. Maybe that's what it means. Says the Gemara, yeah. If it wouldn't be for the Gzera Shava, that's exactly what I would have said. I would have said that the two achers are complementary and that you need to do both the giluach, which is done after the hakrava, besides doing all of the hakrava, and that would be the meaning of the pasuk. But if that's what the pasuk means, then what's the point of the gzera shava? The gzera shava isn't teaching me a darn thing. Anyway, the simple way to read the pasuk would be add the acher tiglachto, hitkalko, and add the acher, which follows the tenufa, and then you have everything, right? But the whole point of the Gzera Shava is to tell me that, no, the two achers mean the same thing, which means it has to be acher ma'aseh yechidi. Fine. Now the question is, now that we've introduced acher at the end of tenufa, what's the status of the tenufa? Is the tenufa itself ma'akev? Is that the same as bringing the korban? Or even though it says v'achar yishta, following the ve'nifa kohen, the tenufa is like tenufa always is. We call a tenufa a shiore mitzvah. I mean, it's l'chatchila, the Torah wants us to do it, but it's never ma'akev. So comes along Rav, and he says, tremendous chiddush. You should know that even the tenufa of a nazir is ma'akev, the heter of the naziras, and until the tenufa was done, he's usherly tamais l'meisim, and he's usher to drink wine, because it says acher, and the acher specifically was acher atanuf. Wait a second, says the Gemara. Who was Rav talking about over here? According to whom? According to Rabbanan? I mean, the Rabbanan say even the Tiglachas is an akev, and the Tiglachas is part of like the whole idea of the Naziras. It's done to the actual guf anazir, and that's, you're telling me it's not akev, but this side issue about the korban of the tenufa, that is ma'akev, that doesn't make any sense. If tiglacha tamre rabbanan lo ma'akva, you're going to tell me that the tenufa is ma'akev? So it's got to be that the rav chiddush of the tenufa big ma'akev is going on libet Rebbe Eliezer. But I don't need rav to tell me that about Rebbe Eliezer, because Rebbe Eliezer said in the Mishnah, basically, acher ma'asim kulam. You have to do everything. Well, if you have to do everything, the tenufa is included in everything, isn't it? So why would Rav have to tell me what the din is? I'll leave it to Rebbe Eliezer. I'll tell you why. Because ma'o detema kivinilini kapor shiore mitzvahim. We know that all over the Torah, wherever we have a chiv of tenufa, it always is together with an understanding that tnufa is only a mitzvah, but it's shiore mitzvah. It's ki'ilu lo kiper, but kiper, so that we understand. Obviously, the din of kapara on a korban is the dam. It's not possible to say that the tnufa is going to effectuate kapara. The Torah said so many times that the badam hu yechaper, right? So if it's telling me to do a tnufa, it's giving me a mitzvah, how I should treat the korban. But it's certainly not telling me that the kapara is dependent in the tnufa. So therefore, I would have thought, if it wouldn't have been for Rav, that even though Rebbe Eliezer says, Acher means Acher Maaseh Kulam, and Tnufa was written together with the Akravas HaKorban. So maybe you would think that Afal Pikein, Tnufa is just like in all other cases, only Shiori Mitzvah, and not Ma'akev. And therefore, even Alibet Rebbe Eliezer, we treat the Tnufa the way we always treat Tnufa, because it can't be part of the Iker Kapara of the Nazir. And therefore, Hakanami Lota Akev, you would think that even by the Naziris without Tnufa, despite the fact that it says Va'acher, nonetheless, it's not going to be Ma'akevim from concluding the Naziris and from being able to drink wine and from being able to be Betamel Amitim. Comes along Rav to tell us, Gamash Malan, Afal Pikein, in this particular case, the Tnufa is actually Ma'akev, because it's part of the Heter of the Nazir. We're not doing a kapora. So where we're talking about literally kapora, obviously kapora is bedam and not betenufa. But over here, since the Torah is telling us a whole seder of strange things that we have to do, and at the end it says v'acher, fine. So then the acher includes the tenufa as well. That's Rav's chiddush. And so it's not only the Gemara in which nazir is weird, it's in the Torah nazir is weird. All right? So we don't have our standard ways of understanding the normal chiyuvim. The problem is that it does not seem to be true. If you're telling me that Rav is claiming that according to Rebbe Eliezer, even Tnufa is ma'akev, does that really follow Rebbe Eliezer Shita? Umi ma'akve? Take a look at the Braita. The Braita, the mashma'ut is that Tnufa is not ma'akev. Because it says over there, fascinating new diak that we didn't think of before. Zot Torat HaNazir. So at the end of the entire description of all of these different dinim, the Torah says, Zot Torat HaNazir, Asher Yidor Korbano Ladunoy Al Nizro, Milvada Shetasig Yado, Kefi Nidro Asher Yidor, Kein Yaseh Al Torat Nizro, and that is it. Play the drums. That's it. Okay. So whenever the Torah says Zot Torat, it's telling me this is all the same. You have to understand that even though you may come up with this variation and that variation, the Seder that we've given you is the single Torat HaNazir. Bein sheyesh lo kapayim, u bein sheein lo kapayim. That's coming to say that even if a Nazir doesn't have any hands, it's still the Torat HaNazir, which, I mean, seems to be saying that even though the Nazir has not the means to be able to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Tenufa, he can rely on Barnea's constant Hanafa, and he doesn't have to do his... No, I'm sorry, that wasn't. But even though he doesn't have his hands, and therefore he's obviously not going to be doing Tenufa, a real Tenufa, Barnea, back and forth, up and down, come on. We want to be ma'akev all the tlolim roim. So.
Should that be one on waiver? waiving requirements for the wave.
Yeah, yeah. I've been trying to figure all of the implications, but haven't come up with them yet. I wasn't sure whether you referred to the Gemara, Alibet Rebbe Eliezer, to wave Tenufa out of the, I don't know, too complicated for me. Okay.
I put the pun on the chat already a few lines ago.
Barnea, I've pointed out many times that you and Winston Churchill both pretend to be very spontaneous with your brilliant language repartee, but that actually, when we look at your notes, it turns out that years before, this has been waiting. Not only that, as some people have written in, Barnea's puns are remarkably consistent over every one of the past five Dafyomi cycles.
Yes. I have Rebbe's Shat in the Rambam written from last time. I didn't raise the Groh on the Girsa 2 days ago.
I said the Groh's Girsa. That's because you were in a Barnaz warp. I did mention the Groh.
I was in the warp. It was poor.
Okay.
The market says that's how we had this Mashal. We would think of the Mashal, remember the bullseye?
Yeah. Right. Okay, very good. Beautiful. So anyway, getting back to the Gemara, look, it all fits into the Purim Shir about embeddedness and Mikra, and it looks always like Mikra, but it's always, in the end, it's always embedded in the nature of reality, which is Barnea's brain, obviously, here, and therefore all of these puns were mechudish together with Maisa Bereshis at the time that language came into being. So, and here we are, Karasi B'Shem, Barnea, Bezalel, fine. Okay, anyway. So I guess we could be excused because it's still post-Purim a little, right? So now the question is, if you're telling me that if a Nazir doesn't have any hands, is still included in Zotorat HaNazir, it's mashma that you do not need to do the Tenufa. Because, a Nazir doesn't have any hands, can't do the Tenufa. And it's not possible to say, okay, but that Rav was going Aliba to Rebbe Eliezer. Maybe this is going Aliba to Chachamim. No, because the Chachamim won't need this pasuk of Zotorat HaNazir. The idea over here would be that even a Maisa of one, that doesn't come from Zotorat HaNazir, my friends. That comes from the Gezeirah Shavah of Acher Acher. So I already know that, of course, if he doesn't have any hands, why would it be Ma'akim? Therefore, it's got to be going Aliba the Rebbe Eliezer. And Afal Pikein, it says if he doesn't have any hands, it's still okay. How do you explain that? Says the Gemara, it can't be true the way you just understood the price. It's ridiculous. Because if it were true, then how do you understand this price I'm going to show you? Elohada Tanya, take a look at this price. Gives us another interpretation of Zotorat HaNazir, which is also included, whether he has hands, whether he doesn't have hands, or whether he has hair or whether he doesn't have hair. So even though he has no hair, if he has no hair, so he's not going to be able to do a tiglachat. And what are you going to say over here? That proves that it isn't necessary to do tiglachat. That's what you're saying. You took the case of a Nazir who doesn't have any hands. And you said, so that shows that you don't need to do a waving. There's no tenufa. You can't wave without hands. So by the same token, how should you be dorish this brisa? If a Nazir doesn't have any hair, it's still included in Zotorat HaNazir. So then that means if he does have hair, he does not have to cut his hair. And the tiglachat is not going to be ma'akev. But is that true? Because it says in the Braita, a Nazir memorat, Beit Shammai Omrim, a Nazir is completely without hair. So Beit Shammai Omrim, eno tzarich la'avir ta'ar al rosho. He doesn't have to take that ta'ar. It says, pass a ta'ar over your head. Okay, but I ain't got nothing on my head. No matter. It says, pass the ta'ar over your head. No, says Beit Shammai. If you don't have any hair, so then there's no point in passing the ta'ar over your head. And they do not need to do anything. There's no need to cut your hair. But Beit Hillel Omrim, no. You have to be Ma'avir Ta'ar Al Rosho. And Ravina pointed out that when Beit Shammai says you don't need, it doesn't mean you don't need. It means, don't waste your time, buddy. You ain't going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Giluach by taking that Ta'ar and putting over your bald head, okay? And even if you went to the barber beforehand for that single hair and he split it into 15 pieces and folded it over like in all the cartoons, there's no point because you cannot be Mikayim your Tiglachas. So he says, Eino Tzorich, because it's a waste of time, because Ein Lo Takana, Tainas Ravina in Beit Shammai. In which case, when Beit Hillel says that no, you take the razor and you put it over that head. So then that means Aliba de Rebbe Tillel, that there is actually a way that a Nazir Mimurat will be Mekayim the Mitzvah, and he can actually do the Tiglachas, even though it's not a real Tiglachas. So that would mean Aliba de Rebbe Eliezer. It would mean that if he is bald, it's not a problem. He can get out of it. In terms of the Chachomim, obviously the Tiglachas even is not going to be Ma'akev, but at least it could be Mekayim the Mitzvah. That's what it would mean. So the way that Ravina explained it over here was that Aliba de Beit Shammai, if he's bald, there's nothing that he can do, which is what Rabbi Padat pointed out. Rabbi Padat said, look, if you put together Beit Shammai and examine Beit Shammai Shita in light of Rabbi Eliezer Shita, it turns out they're saying the same thing. What? Which Rabbi Eliezer Shita? We have the same situation of a Mitzora. Here we're talking about things that you need to do with a Nazir. Okay. A Nazir, in order to do those things, needs to have hair. And he needs to have hands. Because he has to be Mekayim the Tenufa, and he has to be Mekayim the Tiglachas. Now, by a Mitzora, we also have things that he needs, right? So besides the fact that he has to shave his whole body, okay. But he also needs to have toesies, and he needs to have fingers. Because if he doesn't have, count all the babies, you count the, right? But he doesn't need all of his toesies. He just needs one big toe on his right foot and one thumb on his right hand, right? But suppose he doesn't have any toesies. So, ein lo bo en yad v'regel. So, Rabbi Eliezer says, and remember, this is the same as the situation of a Nazir who doesn't have any hands. And this Bitzora doesn't have any way in which it could be Mekayim, the mitzvah of putting the dam of the Asham and the Shemen of the Mitzera. There's nothing you can do. And therefore, says Rabbi Eliezer, ein lo tahara olamit. So there's nothing to do. Which basically, says Rav Padas, that's exactly the way that Ravina explained Ravashi, Beit Shammai. That if he doesn't have any hair, forget about it. There's nothing that you can do. He'll never be able to get out of his Naziris. Rabbi Shimon Omer, whereas Rabbi Shimon says, well, yenichenu amikomov, he can be yotzei if you put it on the stump of his toe. So whatever, there would have been a toe, so put it there. V'chachamim omrim, no, don't put it on the stump of a toe, it's not a toe. But what you could do is you could put it on his toe, but just not the right toe, put it on the wrong, not the wrong toe, the left toe. So then the left toe becomes the equivalent of the right toe. So basically we have a question, if you can do it, but you can't do it right, what's better, no toe or no show? That's the question. So should we do it on the no-toe side, or should we do it on the small side, which is not going to be the regular right toe? Okay, fine. So they disagree what would be the best option. But Lamaisa, what we see over here, is that Rebbe Eliezer is saying, as Rebbe Pedos said, he's saying the same thing as Beit Shammai, that we can't do something that is definitely ma'akev. Anyway, so we've got a problem now, because we're saying that the way that we explain the Braisa is not right, can't be right, because Zotarata Nazir, when we talked about the not having a hand, should lead to the conclusion that when we're talking about the hair, that it would also mean the same thing. And that would mean that, because we're learning that the Nazir with the hand and the Nazir without a hand is the same, we were trying to say it means that that means it's not Ma'akev. And over here, it's saying that a Nazir with a hair or a Nazir without a hair is the same, does not mean it's not Ma'akev. I don't know, Rabbi. It means it is Ma'akev. Except that according to Beit Hillel, you can get away, which is putting the razor over your head, because it says Lavir Ta'al Rosho, right? But then that means it's inconsistent to be Masbir, that Brisa, the way we were Masbir. Now we're leaving that hanging over here, because we've got a completely different Lishna Achrina to the whole discussion. Let's start at the beginning. Lishna Achrina Amri, like this. Omer Rav, Tnufa Benazir Ma'akevas. Okay, take two. So Rav came along and said, Tnufa is absolutely essential. So again, we asked, what? According to whom is this necessary to say? Except that here we say, according to Rebbe Eliezer, it can't, it's no chiddush. Pshita. I mean, didn't Rebbe Eliezer say, Achar Ma'asim Kulam? And over here in this version, The Gemara doesn't answer that I would have thought that maybe Tnufa Shiore Mitzvah. So therefore, in this version, we conclude you're right. It can't be Reb Eliezer. So it must be the Chachamim. And somehow or other, the Chachamim, according to what Rav is claiming, hold that Tnufa is even worse than Tiglachas? Tiglachas, which is done to the actual body of the Nazir and is parts so much a part of the whole concept of Nazir, you're telling me that is not Ma'akiv. But this Tanufa, which is never Ma'akiv anywhere else, is Ma'akiv? How does that make sense? Ela libet Rabbonan. Hashti yeshlama tiglachat amir Rabbonan lo Ma'akva. If Tiglachas itself isn't Ma'akiv, so what's the Hava meaning that Tanufa could be Ma'akiv? It's ridiculous. Tanufa, be boy. Fine. Okay. Lomaisa, the Gemara is not interested in going into all of the details over here. But the truth is that we would have been forced to go back to saying, no, it is going Alibet Reb Eliezer. You're right. And that therefore we would have the answer that we had before. It's going Alibet Reb Eliezer. I would have thought the Tanufa is Ma'akev because Tanufa Shiori Mitzvah. Kamash Bomer, over here it is. Fine. We don't need to hear the whole story. We just want to hear the first part of how it's getting into it so we can get to this next question. Asks the Gemara, wait a second. It should be Ma'akev, even Aliba the Chachamim. Umilo Ma'akva? Vatanya, the Brita says, Zot Torat HaNazir, whether he has hands or he doesn't have hands. Now we're taking this to mean the exact opposite of what we took it to mean before. If we're comparing a Nazir who does have hands to a Nazir who doesn't have hands, then what you're telling me is not that the Tanufa is not Ma'akev, you're telling me that the Tanufa is Ma'akev. Why? Because remember, we have an overall principle, which is, Kol ha-ra'ui le-bila ein bila ma'akevet bo. But kol she'ein no ra'ui le-bila, bila ma'akevet bo. And that became, that halacha, which has to do with mixing the oil in the mincha, became a metaphor for a very powerful principle. The principle is, that as long as something can be achieved, very often, it's not ma'akev if you don't do it. Even though the Torah mentioned it, it was a mitzvah. But if that act couldn't possibly be achieved, then it is ma'akev. Because the Torah's statement means that the entire halakha is limited to where you would be capable of dealing with this issue. Therefore, since a Nazir who doesn't have any hands cannot possibly do Tanufa. So it's telling me that, therefore, the Pasuk is not referring to a Seder Taira of such a Nazir, because it's a given that Bila Ma'akevet. Since we now go ahead and we make a Hekesh by saying Zot Torat HaNazir, that even a Nazir with hands, Kaput really mean palms, but yeah, okay, I'm using the loose word. So even a Nazir with hands is compared to a Nazir without hands, the correct way to understand it is the opposite. That even a Nazir with hands is going to be Ma'akev if he does not do Tanufa. So then that would mean that we now have a special Chiddush, Aliba the Rabbonan, who said that when it says Acher, it means Acher Maisi Yechidi. So we thought Maisi Yechidi meant, okay, just as Rika Saddam. No, it doesn't mean justice is Rika Sazam. It means the Maisi Yechidei, bringing one of the Karbanas. But since bringing one of the Karbanas, in this case where we're talking about a Shlomim, includes Tanufa, so then that would be the Maisi Yechidei, in the event that he was being Megaleach al HaShlomim, you see? So then if anything, we should say, Rav Skiddish is Davka Liba de Rabbanan, and you shouldn't misunderstand that Maisi Yechidei means only Zrika Sadam. It means everything, including the Tanufa. Whoa, but wait a minute. What about the second brisa? You see how this is paralleling the first way that we brought the discussion, right? So we're going to the same way that before, in our first version, we then went to see Zot Torat HaNazir and its implications for hair. So too, we're going to say here, how could you tell me that that's what it means? If we have another brayta that also darshens Zot Torat HaNazir, and it says it doesn't matter whether the Nazir has hair or he doesn't have hair. We're going to learn out from here that just like a Nazir who doesn't even have hair, the halacha is that kol haroi lebila. ein bila makev is bekosha ein a roi labila bila his makev. And that would mean that a nazir without hair is actually ma'akev, and he would be unable to be mekayim the mitzvah. So then that would mean that if you're comparing the two, you would have to learn that tiglachas is ma'akev, because it's comparing all nazirim, even nazirim with hair, to nazirim without hair, which should be telling me, according to the way you just darshan without hands, should be telling me not doing tiglachat, even if you do have hair, is ma'akev. And we know it is not ma'akev. But Tanya, there's another brayta that says beferish, a nazir memorat, Beit Shammai says, eno tzarich la'avir tar al rosho, u'Beit Hillel omrim, tzarich. So what do you see from here? That if he doesn't have any hair, he takes the razor and he puts it over his head. So then if that's the case, it can't possibly mean that a nazir with hair and a nazir without hair is coming to tell me that it's ma'akev, because it isn't ma'akev. Because you can be mekayim and close your naziris even without hair. That's l'chora the way that we now understand the braita. So then if that's the case, the first braisa, which is exactly word for word the same thing, except substitute the word hands for hair, right? And the first braisa, we were trying to say that a nazir without hands and a nazir with hands are exactly the same. And we claim that that meant that it is ma'akev. It should mean over here that the tenufa is not absolutely essential, because that's what it says over here. It's not absolutely essential. Omer Avina, no, you misunderstood. When Beis Hillel said, listen, you have to use that razor, you know what he meant? Well, I dare you to try it. That's what he meant. You're going to have to use that razor. Now tell me what you're going to use the razor on, you idiot. So therefore, what it means is, tzarich ve'en lo takana. He's got to be mekayim the posik of taking the razor and putting it over his head to do tiglachas. He's not going to be able to do tiglachas. That's the point, that he has no takana. So what, according to Beit Shammai, in other words, he does have a takana. This way that we're learning is the exact opposite of what Rebbe Pedat said. Because remember, Rebbe Pedat said that Beit Shammai and Rebbe Eliezer said the same thing when they said there's no toe, and that would be the same halacha. But now we're saying it's exactly the opposite. Beit Shammai is the one who says that a nazir is not going to be stuck with his naziras. If Beit Hillel, when he said tzorich, meant tzorich ve'en lo takana, so then when Beit Shammai said eino tzorich, it meant it's not necessary, meaning he doesn't need it. Meaning that he can drink wine and be metayim lemesim, even though he wasn't able to be mekayim, which is the exact opposite of how we said it before. Because before we said that if Rebbe Eliezer is telling me that if the metzora doesn't have a toe, there's nothing for him to do. And he said that same thing as Beit Shammai Shita, that a nazir who has no hair shouldn't bother taking a razor to his head. But now we're saying, no, it actually is the opposite. Because Beit Shammai is saying, you don't even need, literally, you don't need to take that razor to your head. So then they certainly would not agree with Rabbi Eliezer about the mitzvah. And this is exactly the opposite of the way that we understood it initially. Okay, so it comes out that what we're left with is the machlokas about whether Maisa Echad is ma'akev, or everything is ma'akev. And in the event that the Maisa Echad is ma'akev, whether afal pikein, we might have a mocker from the Zot Torat HaNazir, Aliba the Rav, that he would be saying that still the actual tenufa would be included in the mitzvahs that would be ma'akev, and they're part of the Maisa Kula. That is exactly where we're left. And that concludes our discussion here about the specific halachas of what it is that you're supposed to do. Now we're going to have a question of what is the relationship between the tiglachat and the korban if it turns out that the korban wasn't the correct carbon in the first place. If something was wrong with the carbon. So then the question of the relationship of the carbon to the tiglachat may create serious problems, because then if it now retroactively, so to speak, when we find out, passes the tiglachat, then that means that the nozir is seiser, at least 30 days or the 7 days, depending on the shita, because he didn't have a kosher carbon when he did the tiglachat. That we, I think, should wait already until we start the next mission, even though we have the Mishnah here. I think we've used our time well, and Baruch Hashem, we can meet Mitzvah Shabbos. But that leads to some serious issues, in which we have Akiva to give us some information, and there might even be a big N hiding behind that big N. What's that?
7 p.m., we're out.
7 p.m., soon you're going to be out before us. What's going on over there, Vanafoko? Okay, so if it's 7 p.m., we can once again meet at 7:30 without any problem, right? Okay. And then we have our own man of the hour, who just will put everyone in Yerushalayim into shape to make sure we don't make any mistakes. And I think he's currently maybe back in civilization?
Never. Yeah, well, yeah, I suppose. Shabbat goes up in Yerushalayim at 6:20.
My goodness, 6:20. All right. So then we meet at 7:30. Are you back in Eretz HaKodesh, man of the hour? Okay, wonderful, wonderful. It was, must have been a very difficult trip to dark Canada, sorry. To dark, I forgot where the third world countries are today.
It was quite white.
I know, actually, yeah. We're very lucky there to see all that snow. Richie would be happy to join you, go with you up to the mountains. Fantastic. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we should be zochet to the snow still. In Eretz Yisrael, you never know. You know, there have been snows after Purim, and this could be a wonderful year of this fantastic deep snow, just like California is getting, which could solve our water problems for many, many years as it gradually melts. Halavai. I daven for it every day. I really do. I think it's still possible. All right, everyone. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. I shall miss you, but I'll have to wait until tomorrow night. Difficult. Shabbat shalom and mevorach.